Anyways, I'm back. What are we at here? Rock of Ages, and there shall be showers of blessing. Whichever one you're doing. Yeah, we need more voices.
Rock of Ages, clap for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flow be a sin, the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no rest I know? This for sin could not atone. Thou must save and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. When I draw my final breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown, and behold thee on thy throne, Rock of Ages, clasp for me. Let me hide myself in thee.
There shall be showers of blessing. Now, I didn't want to say plural.
There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing, come now and honor your word. Showers of blessing, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing. Oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
A minute. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your presence. You promised, Father, that whenever two or more gather, that you're there in their midst. That means you're right here in many homes. Thank you so much for that promise. it's hard to fathom sometimes, but it's that's because we're looking through a glass darkly right now. We understand that. And we understand the mercy of that. Because if we understood certain things, we wouldn't be able to stand as well. Especially knew the end from the beginning. It's better not to know where we're headed sometimes when it comes to the trials. All we're really concerned about is being headed towards home. And that we can have assurance of. So thank you for your word revealing that to us, that we can have assurance. The religions out there preach you can never really know where you're going. They're lying, Father. And they're lying to your people. And so thank you, Father, for blessing us, your remnant church, your son's bride, with many opportunities to go forth and help them see the error of their ways. Thank you for blessing us with the first, the second, the third, and the fourth angel's message, the present truth for today. There's so many of your people in all these churches, including non-Christian churches, who have come to this saving knowledge, Father, but they got to open up their Bibles. As we know, we can see firsthand the prophecy of Amos. They're not opening Bibles. So thank you for blessing us as we go forth. Thank you again for forgiving us of our sins, cleansing us from unrighteousness, blessing us with the latter rain and the faith that moves mountains. And Father, when that day comes when we have to flee, thank you for letting it not be on Sabbath day or in winter. And thank you for blessing all those on our prayer list. And thank you for blessing those that help us do this work. Without them, Father, you'd have to send others. As you always do. So thank you for blessing us and treating us like your children. And thank you for teaching us how to give you respect, reverence, and awe, and love, because you are our God. We thank you for blessing all of us. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Put this page on the server real quick. Oops. It's the wrong program. Okay. See, the bandwidth is down good and low, so it looks like we've popped over 50 again, but we'll see how it goes. The radio's getting hit hot and heavy, and I praise the Lord for that. And with that said, in 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 2 to 16, we read, elect. Okay, that's you guys. Oh yeah, put this here. It's okay, there. It should pop up there.
All right.
There, that's the notes for the, and from now on we're going to be printing these notes out so that everybody that's here, if they don't have a computer screen, can read along with us. Right. You're very welcome, Kara. Right. Now, if you are part of the elect out there, my brothers and sisters, this is for you. In other words, this is for us. And it says the elect. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us, again, unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified before him the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things, which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. In other words, put down the old man, let them all die away, get rid of all that garbage. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. You know, many of God's people all throughout the ages have looked with hope because of the days we live in, knowing that at the end Christ returns, and they will resurrect to join those of us that gain eternal salvation. Due to their close walk with the Lord, some of the people of God were so overwhelmed by the wickedness of their day that they thought the Lord was not far coming, even then. Not realizing for one reason or another that many prophecies have yet to be fulfilled. But then, many of the prophecies of our day were also hidden by the Lord, only to be revealed at their fulfillment for obvious reasons. This no doubt keeps the enemies of God's people at bay to some extent. For it is plainly written regarding these evil ones that our Lord will cometh as a thief of the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that they should overtake you as a thief. That's, of course, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 2 to 4, which is an amazing scripture if you think about it. You don't hear verse 4 in a lot of churches out there. Because if they say, because a lot of, I run into a lot of Christians on the street or, you know, on the phone or in the email, stuff like that, and I ask them, do you believe that Jesus Christ is coming as a thief in the night for you? And they go, yeah. I says, no, he's not. He says, oh, yes, he has. It says right there in the Bible. He says, no, if you read that in context, he's coming as a thief of the night to those who aren't ready. And then if you read verse 4, which your pastor never reads, it says because the reason he doesn't come as a thief of the night to you because you're not in darkness, because we understand prophecy. Students of prophecy cannot be overtaken because we can see the signs of the times much easier and clearer than those that refuse to trust the Lord and his word. When the Lord has strong people walking near him, their lives become as such that they see these things for what they truly are. Obviously, all these men and women of God in the past thought the final prophesied events were soon incoming, but as we know, this did not happen because we're still here. Certain prophetic events were still to occur, and they thought they were going to come, you know, in rapid succession, but they never did. So, they were still to occur, and the Lord will not come until such a time because his prophecy is sure. It's going to happen the way he said, as we get proof. They all saw the wickedness of man and assumed with honest hearts that the day was not far off. When we look at the wickedness of man today, we too can say it is not far off. But there's a difference between our day and theirs. They believed certain prophetic events were soon to occur, and with their fulfillments, the Lord himself would be directly behind them. The difference is today, those events they look forward to are in our past. And by the way, for those who have yet to study up what I'm about to share, if you want an in-depth look at all these facts, all these dates, all these sources, and all these Bible scriptures that back all this up, send me an email or send by me an email, and I'll send you the Bible study that's online that gives it, that lays it all out. And I don't know why this keeps coming to mind, but if you're a child of God and you believe that all you're going to do is let them cut your head off when the mark of the beast thing comes and you're going to get into heaven, I'm sorry, you're just going to die. Okay? If you don't walk the walk, talk the talk, and if you're only afraid of going to hell and you do the guillotine thing without having any faith in Christ, it doesn't work that way. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to make you think that dying for your faith will not prevent, you know, will prevent you from going to heaven or hell or whatever. What I'm saying is Christians that are martyred will gain heaven. non-believers that are martyred won't. They're just going to be part of the pack because, I mean, the Vatican is infamous for doing that. They kill, when they go on a rampage, they kill everything in sight. But a lot of people die that were not believers. So, Jesus said, right before he returns, his followers in Jerusalem must flee to the mountains, and then Jerusalem will be destroyed. That's in Matthew 24, verses 15 and 16. It says, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, do a study, that means Rome, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, of course, that being Jerusalem. Whoso readeth, let him understand. There's Jesus telling you, study prophecy. That's Jesus' words, him speaking, Matthew 24. He says, read your prophecy, let him understand, study it out. He said, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. That happened in 70 AD. The Christians saw when the city was surrounded, and then Titus backed off, they fled to the mountains. All the people that didn't believe stayed. And 1,100,000 men, women, and children died in 70 AD when the abomination desolation burned that city to the ground. The followers of Jesus will also experience a great persecution or a tribulation before Jesus returns. A lot of people think that this tribulation is in the future. But Matthew 24:21 says, for then shall great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, to this time no nor shall ever be. But that already happened, just as Daniel 7, Revelation 12, and Revelation 13 predicted. Exactly 1,260 years of persecution have happened. Hundreds of millions of Christians were killed by the Roman Catholic prelates, and they admitted this on March 12, 2000, and their pawns helped them in the civil authorities. But Rome doesn't want the people to know that. That's why they came up with a seven-year trib thing. They want everybody to think this is going to happen in the future because they don't want everybody to know that they've killed 16 times more people than Hitler ever did. And those are the only the people that we can guesstimate at. And I'm probably, 16 times I think it is. Let me just do a real quick calculation here. They killed 83 times more people than Hitler. So where do I get that 16 from? So, and that's just the people we can account for in the Fox's Book of Martyrs. He put the number out there, not me. We can't count the Vandals, the Rulies, and the Ostrogoths because they were totally annihilated, all three of those nations. And then we can't even count the billions of people that have gone to Christless graves because they embraced Catholicism. We can't even count them. Although we can, but we can't mark them up. So, continuing, Jesus also said in Matthew 24 that the sun will be turned to darkness directly after the tribulation stops, that great tribulation. Matthew 24:29 says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give a light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. As soon as the Pope lost his ability to concentrate on killing Christians because of the civil unrest towards him on May 19, 1780, it was recorded in history as the dark day of May 19, 1780. To this day, scientists cannot explain why the sun refused to shine on that day. And I've got quotes from the Hall of Congress, Harvard University, Yale University. I've got quotes from quite a few places where that states nobody knows why the sun didn't shine that day. It was cloudless and everything. You put your hand in front of your face and you couldn't see it, even as the dark as velvet, one of the guys said. You can't see your hand in front of your face. And that happened right after the Vatican started losing its power to kill. 18 years later, well, I'll get into that in a minute. Or will I? No. 18 years later, it was 1798 when General Berthier was sent in by Napoleon and the Pope died in exile. So the Pope was already exposed. People were already starting to realize what they were all about. Over 1,200 years of killing people. And then next, of course, in the same verse, it says that the moon will not give her light. That also happened on May 19, 1780, just as Jesus said it would. And just so you know, the prophet Joel did in fact declare that the moon would look like blood that day. That's why he couldn't give us light. This is in Joel chapter 2, verse 31. It says, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord shall come. Jesus also said in Matthew 24:29 that the stars shall fall from heaven. Well, that happened on November 13th, 1833, and I've got all sorts of eyewitness testimonies to that as well. There wasn't no lineage shower either. They don't know what it was. They just know that it looked like all the stars were just falling. It was like some kind of a massive what do they call that, meteor shower, but it was massive. Now, before these three events occur, Revelation goes so far as to say, in Revelation 6:12, and I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. Okay, so can we time when this earthquake came? Well, let's figure it out, because the very next statement in Revelation 6:12 says, and the sun became as black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. That's why I brought Joel up, because Joel lets you know it came as, it looked like blood. And then May 19, 1780 also said that the sun was like black as sackcloth of hair. You couldn't see it. So if this prophecy is correct, if Jesus is, you know, telling John in the book of Revelation during that vision that there's going to be a global earthquake, was there one? I remember reading about this when I was a teenager, and I couldn't fathom how stupid it seemed to me. I didn't know anything about prophecy back then, but I just thought, I was reading an Omni magazine with these scientists who were saying that they thought a black hole hit Lisbon because they said there was a global earthquake in November 1st of 1755 that shook the entire planet. And they were assuming that a black hole hit the planet. If anybody that's done any research whatsoever on a black hole, you know that if a black hole just came near our planet, we wouldn't be here, let alone hit it. And so they'll do anything they can to try and make it look like a prophetic event did not occur. It's Lisbon, it's Lisbon. Anyway, it's L-I-S-B-O-N. So, another prophecy that we see behind us is in James chapter 5, verses 4 and 8. It says, behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud. In other words, the people aren't getting the money that they were agreed to be paid for their work being done. James goes on to say that they cry, and cries of them which have reached, are entered into the ears of the Lord. Be ye also patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. This has been going on since the Vatican created unions back in the 1890s. We also have a prophecy in Matthew 24 from Jesus himself in verses 6 and 7 where he says, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and the kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. This is a normal fact of life for us today, especially since World War I. It's amazing how many nations were at war at that time. And then World War II was even worse. And now it's just constant war. And it's not because anybody's disagreeing with anybody in the kingdoms. I mean, we have no problem with Iraq, but the Vatican does. The Vatican wants the land. The Vatican wants them to bow to the Pope. They won't, so the Vatican sends in their police, which is the United States military. So pray for our soldiers. A lot of them don't know what's going on out there. I mean, do some research and you'll find that all the wars that are going on right now are with people that refuse to bow to the Vatican. And the ones that are being talked about that are about to have war are also the ones that don't agree with the Vatican. And the ones that are at peace are the ones that have already ambassadors of the Vatican in their countries. Now, the prophecy that is mentioned in Scripture is in Luke 21, verses 25 and 26, where it says, distress of nations with perplexity, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. You know, this has been happening for decades. And with the onset of the terrorist agenda, it has been become even more so realized in just the last 8 years alone here in America. Every aspect of fear is being pumped in by the media, from hurricanes, wars, terrorists, swine flu, inner-city violence, talk of 2012, Y2K, September 11th. And just yesterday, scientists fanned the flames of fear by announcing that the sun is now shrinking. Does this make men's hearts failing them for fear? Yes. Will Christians fear? No, because we know the Creator has already promised in Psalm 91:10 that there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. So when a sun swells, it's about to become a red dwarf. Is the Lord setting the stage for the plagues, specifically plague number 4 about the great heat? Time will tell. But they could sit there and put out all these, you know, fearful reports about the sun and all these other things in nature going crazy. And we have in our Bibles proof that this just means he's coming back any day now. He's coming back soon. Look at Daniel 12, verse 4. It says, but thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. not only has this been fulfilled in how we, the remnant, understand prophetic truths like no other time in history, because our knowledge has been advanced in the scriptures, technological advances have expanded to the point where we're actually having church on the internet with computers. And I'm not even going to comment that much on many shall run to and fro. You can now go around the world in one day if you've got an airplane. I mean, if you look at the news reports in the morning, if you want to check out the traffic reports, they've got this new graphic now. I don't have TV anymore for where I could see that kind of news report anymore. We got rid of all that. But they used to have this thing with the United States of America map on CNN, because I can't get CNN now. And they would show all the airplanes in the sky, and they would make them just big enough to where it looks like the country's completely covered in airplanes. And it's very tiny little airplanes they're drawing, too. They're not that big. And that's just in this country. So many are running to and fro already. Look at 2 Peter and 2 Timothy. 2 Peter 3:3 says, there shall come in the last days scoffers. 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4 says, and they shall not endure sound doctrine, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. There are literally millions of websites out there now, millions of books and videos, and people out there scoffing our Lord. Well, actually, there's billions of people out there scoffing our Lord walking the earth today. So yes, even a babe in Christ can now see that this one is particularly fulfilled in our day. I know people personally that just don't believe in God. They have billboards in Chicago now on the sides of buses evangelizing people away from God, talking about reversal baptisms or de-baptisms, I think, or unbaptizing. I think it's unbaptizing or de-baptism. The atheists are pushing forth their agenda now, and all sorts of people are denouncing Christianity because they're blaming religion for all the wars, just like the Vatican planned. And so nobody wants anything to do with religion anymore because look at what it does. It causes war. Oh, it's happening in New York City. You know, it actually started in England first. Now they're doing it here. Buses with these big billboards on the side saying you can be really happy without God. All sorts of stuff like that. Another prophecy for our day is the spread of immorality and the decline of spirituality. Is it any wonder? I mean, is it unexpected? Is this not fulfilled as well? I mean, we look to our religious leaders for spiritual and moral direction, and instead we see not to need men of God telling us it's okay to sin so we don't stop tithing or donating to their church. This is one of the reasons my wife and I do home church. We looked for years for a church that would preach what the Bible says. They won't, because they want to keep you in the church. It's almost as if they're saying to themselves, if it's an unpopular sermon, don't preach it. It seems they will only preach wealth and prosperity today, mainly because that's all the people want to hear. And when you view the TV preachers, you see this is the case. I mean, those guys, that's all. There's this one guy, I mean, it just makes me chuckle every time I see him on there. He's got something called camp meeting on the TV, and you turn it on, he's preaching money. You know, this Jan Crouch, his wife, I can't remember her name. I think that is his wife's name. I don't know. Anyway, you know, the woman with the cotton candy looking hair, she looks like a Barbie doll. She's got this big, big, gigantic, oversized wig, and she's got that really thick makeup on. She's declaring, she says, even to the people that are poor out there, and all you got a little bit of grocery money left, send that in and the Lord will bless you. And they send it in. Jesus talked about these guys. I mean, he called them preachers of filthy lucre. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5 says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. That's the homosexual thing. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. I mean, how many people hate us just because we're Christians? Seriously. Going on, Timothy says, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. This is today's society in a nutshell. And it lends into the next prophecy about in the last days there's going to be a craze for pleasure. This is love of pleasure, you know, more than lovers of God. I mean, drugs, sex, rock and roll are just a few ways that this has been proven fulfilled. There's guys out there killing their sons I read about this one man who threw his son in front of a speeding train because his new wife, who was extremely much younger than his older wife, couldn't deal with the kid. So he threw his 12 or 13-year-old son under the train. But the kid survived. Lost both his legs, but he survived. The love of many shall wax cold. It also says no word. Another one of the prophecies are there's going to be no regard for law. Bloody crimes and violence will increase in the streets. And it has to be because the government is going nuts and people just don't, I mean, if you're not going to do what you're supposed to do in the government, then sooner or later you're going to get people out there that says, look, I'm not going to follow your laws. Look what's going on. And I'm not saying that what we should, no, don't do that. These men are ordained of God. In the book of Romans, it's very clear about that. They are ordained of God to be there. Follow the laws. Until they say that you have to break the law of God to follow their laws. That's when it's over for us. That's that national assembly law they're going to push. So I'm not saying don't follow the law. You got to follow the laws. But there's going to be people out there that are going to say that. I mean, look what's going on in the military right now. Some guys refuse to be deployed because they don't believe Obama is a real president because it's already been proven. They found his Kenyan birth certificate. He's not a U.S. citizen. Plus, his parents weren't even born in the States. Not only does he have to be born in the States, his parents have to be here, have to be U.S. citizens, at least U.S. citizens. And they weren't when he was born. So, no regard for law, bloody crimes, violence. I mean, look at Matthew 24:12, where Jesus says that iniquities shall abound. And 2 Timothy 3:13 says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. And Ezekiel said in verse 23, chapter 7, that the land is full of bloody crimes and the city is full of violence. And look at the drive-by shootings in broad daylight now. It's so frequent that I know in the Chicago area alone that the local news never reports on it unless a little kid gets killed or some little old lady happens to get caught in a crossfire. That's the only time you'll hear about the drive-by shootings. Now it's happening so much now. They don't even, it used to be back in the 70s when it started with the guy, it used to be, you know, like kids used to punch and fight and knife fights, but now they started with the drive-bys. And it used to be all over the news all the time. Now, forget about it. It's just old news. It's not exciting enough now. And as for iniquity abounding, I mean, look at the X-rated theaters, the vulgar Hollywood movies, the blasphemous cartoon sitcoms on TV like Family Guy or Bart Simpson or any of the so-called family entertainment where every chance they get, they make fun of our God. And then you got the homosexuals parading in broad daylight, and they're saying that they're the same thing as us. But do heterosexuals go around and committing and walking around naked in broad daylight and performing certain acts in public? No. But they do it. They do it on a regular basis at Mardi Gras, but now they're doing it in regular cities. I mean, this is overwhelmingly proof of filled ground. It's another thing we can look back to. What about earthquakes, storms, pestilences, famines? Luke 7:21-11, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall be there and from heaven. There have been more earthquakes. I'm just going to touch on earthquakes, because we all know about AIDS, Ebola, and with this new vaccine coming out, you're going to see a lot more diseases and people getting crippled. And then, of course, we know about famines. There's millions and millions of people starving in Ethiopia, even though you could just take one picture off the Vatican walls, sell it, and those people would eat for 5 years. It's already been proven you could feed those people for a few pennies a day. But they won't do it. Why? Because if they do feed them, then you won't be able to have fundraisers making money with their pictures of the little kids on the screen with flies messing around by their eyes. It's all about money. But touching on the earthquakes, there have been more quakes in the last 20 years than there have been in the last 6,000 years. In the last 20 years. And there have been more major earthquakes where more than 10,000 people or more were killed in the last 100 years than have been in the last 6,000. And again, if you want all the facts and figures on this, just send me off an email or Bonnie and we'll get it to you. Everything you need to prove this and share this with your loved ones. In the end, many will turn to seducing spirits and lies of the occult will be accepted worldwide. Jesus said in Matthew 24:11, and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, And Jesus again said in Matthew 24:24, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And then Revelation, of course, lets the cat out of the bag, and Revelation 16:14 says, for they are spirits of devils working miracles. That's all it is. Psychics are now considered trustworthy. False prophets and teachers are everywhere now. People channeling demons are considered stars on Oprah. Demons impersonating Mary, the god of Catholicism, have been performing miracles all over this planet since 1917. And the Harry Potter movies have been declared a modern-day phenomenon on all the TV stations that advertise it as the most popular movie books in history. And the Vatican is the reason most people are getting into it in the religious end of things, because the Vatican has put their stamp of approval on it more than once. Recently, they were just really praising it and saying it really teaches a good message about good and evil. It teaches children how to become witches and warlocks. It teaches them how to conjure and cast spells. Why do you think you got games like Zelda out there? And some of these adventure games where the game seems okay, everything's fine, you're looking for things, and all of a sudden you find potions, and then it helps you in your quest, and you can cast spells. It's teaching our children the benefits of sorcery. And again, that prophecy is behind us. That's our society now. Jesus said in Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. The gospel is now preached by radio, TV, internet, DVDs, satellite, books, tracts, millions of Christians all over the world at this very moment. It has become realized that it is now possible to preach to absolutely every single solitary soul on planet Earth right now. Jesus says in verse 33 from Matthew 24 that when ye shall see these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. So when we shall see all these signs falling into place, we know that this is the time at hand. And so it is. There are many, I am sorry to say, that will ignore these prophetic events in the hopes that maybe it will all just go away and get better. And it will get better for a little time sometimes, you know, like the media won't report on some of the crazy things that the government's doing and give people like a breather for a week or two at times. But it always comes back. And what people forget is the stuff that they already did in the past is still here with us. And so they haven't gotten any better. They may think things are getting better because they only have become complacent in the problems that they have now. The scriptures confirm that in Noah's day, absolutely everyone ignored the warnings except Noah and his family when they went into the ark. Yes, there were some people that believed the truth, but the Lord allowed them to go to sleep before the floods came. Just like there's going to be a lot of martyrs right before the plagues come. No, it's not the time of the great tribulation, because that has already been prophetically proven fulfilled. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble that's coming upon us right now, and it's already started in the Middle East and in China and some other areas. People are being killed just because they're Christians. Are the people of today heeding the warnings, prophesied in God's word? No, I don't think so. The grand majority of the people out there aren't. We are, but they aren't. Are they going about their daily activities as if they don't have a care in the world? Sadly, yeah. Just as Jesus said they would in yet another prophecy. It's in Matthew 24, verses 37 and 38. He said, but as in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And this also proves that fear-mongering that they're doing about a global thermonuclear war is a pack of lies. Because Jesus says when he's splitting the eastern sky, it's going to be like normal life down here. For the wicked, of course. For us, it's not going to be so easy. Especially when it gets right down to the wire, it's going to be very difficult for us. But praise his name. We can sing like Huss did when they're bringing us to our death chamber, wherever they're headed. The people of Noah's day waited until they could literally see it with their own eyes before they would believe it. But by that time, it was obviously too late. All the history books confirm that never before in history were these prophecies fulfilled as they have been in today's world. If you do a study of what's called eschatology, you'll understand what I'm saying. You take the prophecies of Scripture and you look back in history, and you can see that this is already All these things have happened. What they were looking forward to, you know, the days that they wanted to look into, like the angels wanted to see our day, the prophets wanted to see our day, they all sought to look for this day. They saw it coming in their day because they saw the wickedness of man, and they were looking forward to all these certain events happening. They're all behind us now. There's only a couple of things left to happen. And with all these things already behind us, how can anyone think there is no validity in Christian prophecy? With all these things happening like this, just as he said they would. I mean, if the Christian prophecy is bogus, they got to explain why everything happened just like our Lord said. We are living in a time when we should seek the Lord more earnestly. Yes, there are some that will say, I will believe it when I see it. All that can be said to them is, please, open your eyes. His arrival is soon and coming. Hope and pray you were blessed by what you heard this Sabbath day.
Yeah, praise the Lord. I love speaking of these things because this is what got me to find Jesus, this prophecy. So, we'll do a few more of these.
When we all get to heaven. Yeah, when we all get to heaven, it's number 467.
Let me see if we have it in the room. Yep, there it is.
Okay, when we all get to heaven, this will all be over.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sign. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that'll be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that'll be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that'll be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
If you can kneel,
please do so. We're going to pray.
Heavenly Father, we thank you again for blessing us with your presence. Father, thank you so much for prophecy. It just confirms in the hearts of many of the young in faith that you are God. You truly do know the end from the beginning. It's just, and you truly do love us enough to tell us these things in advance so that we can get ready. We won't stand on that last day saying, you know, we never knew this was going to happen. You didn't tell us. You didn't warn us. You did. You warned us. For 6,000 years you've been warning us. And thank you for giving us the strength. Thank you for giving us the opportunity. Thank you for keeping that hedge of angels strong around us and keep Satan at bay so that we can go forth and do that work for you. They're going to try and stop us, Father. We know this. Thank you for opening the doors and shutting the doors in their face, opening the doors for us so that we can go forth and do this work for you. There's many out there that need to hear this. You're coming soon, Father, and there are a lot of you people aren't ready. Bless them with a desire to get into the Word. And bless them once they do. As you say in Revelation, a blessing is guaranteed for those that read it. Thank you so much for it. People don't realize sometimes what the blessing is, but it may take a few years to figure it out, but it's nice when they do. Some think it's one thing or another, but it's not. It's understanding. It's having that faith. And thank you, Father, for being so close to us, keeping your spirit deep within us. Thank you for that spark of heaven every now and then. I want to thank you especially for that the other day when I was in study. Thank you for just guiding us. And thank you so much for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us from unrighteousness, because our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. Thank you for your Son, for doing what he did and proved what he proved for you and for us. Thank you for blessing the remainder of this Sabbath day, Father. And thank you for blessing us all throughout this week so that we can come again together next Sabbath. And thank you again for blessing all those that are on our prayer list and those that help us do this work. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.